You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
Well, I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. The phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers today, but we do have Craig. So let's see what Craig wants to talk about.
Oh, it's Craig again. One other observation. I thought it was somewhat indicative probably of Packer Nation. Usually after every pick, they pan to the crowd and they're going nuts. People are cheering. It didn't matter who it was. Everyone's excited and they're high-fiving and fist pumping and yelling and screaming. And then after the Packer pick, they go on to one guy who happens to be sitting by some other player, some other teams, the kid wearing the cheesehead, and he's disappointed and sulking and putting his head down. And I just had to laugh to myself going, no other team had that reaction. And I always wonder, maybe if every team has the reaction we do as Packer fans, that we're a little scratching our heads. But at least according to those shots of the crowd, every other team seemed pretty pumped up. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of funny. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, obviously everybody has positive and negative reactions to everything. I mean, even Bears fans, when that was the most obvious thing in the world, I'm sure there are some that bought into Drake May or something, you know what I mean? But I guess my official answer would be yes and no, because a lot of the teams did end up drafting somebody that is pretty much what everybody wanted or acknowledged was kind of a need. So there would just be a handful of teams where it wasn't exactly as the mock drafts said it would be. But there's always going to be massive disappointment. It's just some is worse than others. And I think with the Packers thing, one of the biggest negatives wasn't even necessarily the pick. It was who else was available. It was the fact that for several hours we were talking about, I cannot believe how good this board is falling. I can't believe we've got Kool-Aid McKinstry and we've got Quinyon Mitchell and we've got Terry and Arnold, and we've got like Nate Wigg, like everybody is still here. All the quarterbacks went. This is unfreaking believable. And then a handful of them went, but it's like, it's still like, first of all, you start getting pissed because it's like, you should have come up and grabbed Mitchell, but you didn't. So whatever. And it's like, well, you should have come up. And then it's like, once they pick, it's like, okay, they didn't go up and get those guys, but there's still, you know, Kool-Aid. There is still Cooper. There's still all these guys that we have talked about 1,000 times. And then they take somebody that, you know, even if you're going offensive line, there's other guys that have been talked about more that are generally more accepted. And the Packers decided not to go that route. It was kind of similar to Quay Walker, except better positional value, in that I think everybody was fine with linebacker when we took Quay, generally. But there were other guys that everybody wanted more. But yeah, look, all I would say is if you're going to be that guy, try to remember that if there's a camera in your face, don't have that reaction. Because number one, you don't want all the Lions fans around you pointing and laughing at you. Because that's the thing. They looked and they waited for his reaction. And then once he started doing that, then everyone's like, ah, look at him. You know, just put on a brave face, bite down real hard on your lip and start clapping. Just nod your head and clap and go, let's go. By David Bakhtiari replacement. Here we go. You know, whatever. Just make something up. Don't feed the freaking trolls, man.
Brian, what's up, buddy?
What's up?
Kyle from Madison. I hope you got some sleep. I thought maybe you're going to, like, pass out on your keyboard and wake up and you're going to have, like, all the little keyboard shapes on your face. Would have been awesome, though, for the stream. All right. So the Lions fans need to calm down. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to Brian Gutekunst's press conference last night yet. Look, as a Packer fan, it was upsetting when the Lions moved up in front of us and took Arnold. I was legitimately upset for like a couple minutes because just the way the emotion of the evening was going and Mitchell's falling and then he goes to Philly, and then you're thinking, well, hey, Arnold, a lot of people had him as your first cornerback, the sexy pick. You know, it felt in the moment like, oh my gosh, the Lions just duped us. So, like, what it feels like to a fan watching the draft and what's actually going on is, like, totally different. Because Gutekunst, in his postgame, said, yeah, we knew the Lions were trying to do that because they called us, trying to trade into our spot, you know? And the Packers were like, nah, we're all set things. And it was really interesting listening to, I actually really enjoyed the McAfee coverage with Bill Belichick, because it was just interesting to learn. And there was, at one point, there was, Sean Payton came on and was just talking with Bill Belichick. And he was talking about how, you know, they all knew kind of, they'd already talked to the teams and which quarterbacks they were interested in. So I think it's a little less secretive is what we think. You know, I think they know, and a lot of times I think they're a little more open about it. Maybe not always. The Packers knew they were going for Arnold, and they let him. So Lions fans, chill out. Yes, Packer fans were upset. It felt like you pulled a fast one, but the Packers themselves were not. I mean, you asked them for the pick. They said no. They knew what you're doing. So everybody just relax a little bit, would you? Anyway, I can't wait for tonight. There are so many good players available still. And yes, it sucks that our division rivals really got a lot of good players on day one. But holy crap, at a big cost. The rest of the division is just devoid of draft capital this year and next year even. I think the Vikings have, what, like three more picks? The Bears have like two, three more picks. And then the Vikings next year are basically nothing. I mean, holy crap. That is, that's worth its own podcast later. But, I mean, that is anathema to the way, like, the Packers do business. And I'm glad for that. So, anyway, a lot of great players on the board. I feel like we can just take whatever we want. We're in a good place, and I like the Morgan pick. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, and look, if the board really was the way that we all thought it was, and I talked about this yesterday, that we all clearly massively overestimated the corners, the Packers would have tried to trade up. The fact of the matter is they didn't, and not only did they not, but by the time the Packers' turn came up, they contemplating trading back because they had several people that they wanted to draft. But again, just felt like, no, we better just stay and pick because I don't want to lose out on this guy. Again, that's the story that they're actually telling us. And I don't think, you know, I think a lot of people are having a hard time sort of accepting it because that's not what the consensus board said. I don't mean you, but it's just, you know, we have to keep going over this because it's like, I can't believe we got these guys stolen from us. And I can't believe that we didn't go up and get these guys. And I can't. It becomes extremely easy to believe if you just accept what the Packers are telling you. And you could say, well, maybe they're lying. Well, again, if things were the way that we thought they were, we could have gave up almost no capital to move up a couple spots and end up with one of the top corners in the draft. We didn't do that. And of course it would have been worth it if that was the last guy on that tier. Right? Because that's the only way that would make sense, that they would still want to trade back. Yeah, but those other guys were on a higher tier. Give me a break. If Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell, let's say Terrion Arnold because he went right before us, if he was on some kind of a higher tier, let's say we had him as a top 15 prospect, he was the last top 15 prospect, he gets that close to us and we're not going to pull the trigger on it? Come on. Of course they're going to. They would have traded up a long time ago to do it. They didn't. Because they didn't have a higher grade on him than several other prospects, including our tackle. Now, that isn't to say that if he would have fallen to us that we wouldn't have taken him. That's entirely possible. But it just means that they would have liked him slightly more. But I'll tell you what, considering we didn't really draft corners and continued to trade down, and considering we invested a lot in offensive line, safety, and linebacker, you tend to get the impression that corner was not as big of a priority as offensive line, especially tackle. So the bottom line is, had the Lions not done that, I believe, as many people also do, the Packers would have taken Jordan Morgan anyways.
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike. So I just wanted to talk about something that happened early in the draft that I'm really disappointed about. And it's Atlanta drafting Michael Penix Jr. I get why they like him. I do. But only 24 years old? I mean, is that really Don't get me wrong, my guy Bo Mix isn't that much younger, but like, come on now. I don't know why you wouldn't take Nix, who in my opinion has better overall everything.
Yep.
I guess Nix is 24 too. Man, I still don't get it. I don't get it. If you're gonna have somebody sit, I knew it was Nix. That was the guy. That was the guy you should take for a team who's gonna have somebody sit. And they didn't. I mean, Michael Penix, he has a chance to be a good QB, but like, not like Nix does. Like, let's be real. Given apples to apples, is there any quarterback in this draft that would have done better with sitting than Bo Nix? Maybe Caleb Williams. Maybe. I'll give it to Caleb Williams, but I doubt we're going to see that. I doubt we're going to see Caleb Williams sit. I mean, Atlanta was the one to say, this is why we did it. We did it because of, look what Jordan Love did. Look at what we want to follow the Packers model. Yet they did not pick the guy who you'd want to do that with. I don't even think actually Bo Nix is necessarily 100% the best option. Is it Drake May? Is it a guy who makes bad decisions and had somebody bad in front of him? Should they have moved up if that's what the plan was? I don't know. I just don't think Penix is the guy. You let me know. Go back, go.
Well, I didn't really like Penix at all. I was much bigger on Bo Nix than Penix, but that isn't to say that with some development, that couldn't change. Which leads to the next biggest objection, which generally is that he's 24 years old, and the Falcons, I believe, I keep seeing this as though it's quoted, maybe it's misquoted, I don't know, but that they could potentially let him sit for 4 to 5 years. So you're talking about the guy's 29 years old by the time he actually takes over, which isn't fantastic, obviously. Now, I don't know if that's actually going to be the plan or not. I would assume that just because, you know, they're willing to be patient, who knows, maybe it's in 2 years, in which case he's 26, which, you know, maybe isn't the greatest thing in the world, but if you got a 26-year-old ready to rock and roll, you get 10 years out of him, I think you can live with that. So I at least felt much better about it when I heard what they were planning on doing, and they gave a ton of praise to the Green Bay Packers, said that they talked a lot about the Green Bay Packers model, they called it, which is, you know, drafting before you need a quarterback, allowing them to sit behind the talented quarterback and let them be ready to go. So really the only question is he the right guy? You know, did you really do this the right way or not? Or did you just happen to grab a guy that's not very good? You're going to sit him behind an old guy that's overpaid, and then you're going to let him sit way too long, and he's going to be too old, not developed. And, whether or not it works, I don't know. But I respect the fact that they're actually starting to smarten up. Although at the same time, if the rest of the NFL wants to stay stupid, I guess I'm fine with that.
I also just need to add, it is so ridiculous listening to like Joe Blow panelists talk about Morgan as if he is some horrifically disabled person because he has like 33 1/4 inch arms. Like, how will he ever get through life? Like,
just wait until you hear tomorrow's podcast when one of the scouts calls one of our players fat. Just didn't say too many words about our guy, but one of them involved him being fat.
I'm sure he's figured it out. You know what I mean? Like, I understand the threshold. But like, as I understand it, he's within like a 16th of an inch of Bakhtiari and Tom. Like,
that is really interesting if you think about it. I mean, I suppose, you know, when you think quarter, like, who gives a crap? Like, they're not super long arms. Maybe it's because the defenders have those long of arms, and so it's a question of how many guys do you have longer arms than? But it's still, even if you had 34-inch arms, how many guys are going to have longer arms than you? And does that mean you just suck against them? And if not, then what are we talking about here? I don't fully understand it. I mean, I understand it in terms of it being a benefit, just like being a certain height would be a benefit, and being, you know, a bigger weight and having certain speed, right? It would be a benefit.
I don't know. I it just feels like it has a harder limit than a lot of other things. But then again, these guys all get drafted, so it's not really a limit. So I don't know. It's just, it's a very weird thing that we talk about as compared to some of the other metrics.
People talk about it like it's some blight on him and his life. Like, the poor man with his 33 and a quarter inch arms.
Little midget arms.
How will he get through life? Like, he's the bandwagoning a little much. I think he's going to be good. I think the Packers took him as a tackle. And I think that's why they didn't take Barton, because they see him as an interior person, and they don't value that in the first round. Same with DeJean. They see him as a safety. They're not going to take a safety probably in the first round. It's not something they value. It's not a huge mystery, you know? And also after Morgan, like, who's left? You had Guyton. A lot of people think he's only right tackle, right? But after that, I mean, there wasn't a lot of guys left. The rest are like long-term projects. So anyway, amen. And let's all just really root for Morgan to overcome his horrible disability with his 33 and a quarter inch arms. My goodness, the poor man.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's just being somewhat flippant, and I'm sure it matters to some degree, but how many times have you seen a tackle just get whooped, and you're like, man, if he had an eighth of an inch longer arms, he would have stopped that guy for sure. when they're just getting bull rushed straight back into the quarterback, like, bro, you just get some Stretch Armstrong, extendo arms, you know, some Inspector Gadget arms, would have been lights out. It's got nothing to do with his base and his balance. It's got nothing to do with that. Got nothing to do with the timing of his punch or any of that. It's got nothing. It's the arms, bro. Eighth inch, quarter inch. Give him a half inch. Dang, he'd have wrecked that. Pancake City getting some flapjacks, man. Anyways, let's take a break. We'll come back and hear from Joe in Connecticut. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Ryan!
Hey!
It's Joe!
Joe!
The janitor from Connecticut.
What's up?
How's it going, bud? Long time no talk, man. Well, draft, first round. And we take an offensive lineman. Excited about the pick. I didn't know anything about him besides what I heard from the podcast prior to us drafting him, but it sounds like a good pick. And I'm excited. A lot of good players are still on the board, and then we pick it pretty soon, like 7 or 8 picks or whatever it is. Anyway, you know, really excited about what's been going on. I haven't talked since pretty much
Super Bowl. I haven't called in. It's been a ride or off season. Excited about defensive coordinators. I can go on and on. I had to take a break for a little bit. I also turned 40 in March, so, you know, I had a little bit of a midlife crisis I was getting through, buying sports cars and stuff.
Get it.
And just living life. Anyway, I don't even know if it's fair to say Joe the Janitor anymore, because I have had a title change.
Okay.
I'm officially still basically a janitor, but now the title is facility maintenance. So I'm pretty excited about that one. You know, that it came with a $4 raise, which is pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited about that. You know, that bumps me right up to $20 an hour, you know? So it's good to have the extra money. And my facility's maintenance so far has been pretty much scrubbing graffiti off the walls. They say I'm really good at scrubbing graffiti. So for now, that's what I'm doing. But it's been good. Really busy, working a lot of hours, but staying busy. Drinking Pabst Blues on the side, you know, and listening to the Packernet podcast. I haven't missed anything. I forget if it was Garrett or Nate or someone was asking about me recently, maybe a couple weeks ago. So I, you know, I called in then, but I didn't call in then. I wanted to wait till the draft time. Call in now. Everything's good. I'm good. Everything's been good. So that's all I got to say about that. And hopefully I get through this midlife crisis I'm having and we get through the second and the third round with some quality players. All right, Ryan. Have a good one, Packer Nation. Shalom.
Well, I'm glad to hear from you. Glad you're doing okay. Everybody's been asking about you. Glad you've been hanging in there with the podcast. And hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the draft. Look forward to hearing from you again.
Hey, it's Jimmy.
Hey,
what's up? Been a long, long time.
Everybody's coming back.
I can't do draft season. Too much information. Pops and buzzes. But I do really like it when they find out the dudes that we draft. And I like what I'm hearing so far about Morgan. And I just want to say every time I hear his name said, all I can think of is Jordan Morgan. I don't know why. It just feels right. Jordan Morgan. So I'm going to root for this guy, obviously. I hope he is our new left tackle for forever. And I hope Jordan can keep Jordan off his butt. Go, Pack, go.
It's good to hear from you, too. I don't know.
What's up, Ryan? Kyle from Madison, man.
What's up?
Day two in the books, and what a day it has been. I is everybody else trying, or is it just us? Sometimes it seems like Gutekunst just, like, knows something other people don't know. I don't know, man. He has just been one cool cucumber this whole draft so far, and it just feels like everybody else is just, like, flailing around and throwing their picks around.
A lot of panic
to trade
this
up
year
a couple,
for sure.
And he's just like, yeah, whatever. We'll take them. We'll trade back. I mean, today he very well might have gotten the best linebacker, the best running back, and the best safety in the draft. That is really not that hard to contort your mind to think that that could be possible, you know? But, I mean, probably one of my favorite things he's done. We'll see how good he is, but to trade down and get a fifth and a sixth, I think it was, and then still get Edgerton Cooper. I mean, we'll see what he does with that fifth and sixth, but I mean, that's pretty remarkable. And then I go get Lloyd. I mean, Marshawn Lloyd, I would have never thought the Packers would go for him. I don't know why. I liked him a lot. I mean, I gotta go back and watch his film, but the only thing I remember from his videos that I watched are his highlights. By the way, if I call it film, it's because I want to sound cool.
Fair enough.
Just accept that. So I'm gonna go back and watch his film. because I watch film. But he has a devastating jump cut move. Like, yeah, as soon as I got funky, I gotta go watch highlights. But go back and watch him. He's got this thing Marshawn Lloyd does where, other than being, you know, just super powerful and his leg drive, man, you watch his legs, it's like a blur. Like, you can't even see his legs. They're so quick. But he does this thing where he sets up, especially DBs, where he kind of, like, flips his hips, like, towards the center of the field and kind of fakes him out with the center of gravity. And then he just sticks his opposite heel right in the ground, and he just changes direction on a dime. We haven't had that in Green Bay for a while. We usually have different runners than that. So I'm excited about that. And it's just, you know, to have 8 picks tomorrow, this is insanity. I doubt that we end up with all 13 picks, but my goodness, when the rest of the division is just throwing away their picks for whatever, you know, and here the Packers are again going to have double-digit picks and good players. Wow, man. All right, take care.
Yeah, that was one of the things I had highlighted about Marshawn Lloyd. Again, I got to go back and watch him again too, but the ability to set people up is pretty awesome. Essentially, you know, if you just run straight through that hole, the linebacker is going to meet you there. You're probably not going to go anywhere else. But occasionally you'll see a guy kind of like pretend he's going to bounce it back inside to cause a little stutter step in that linebacker. So the linebacker kind of goes the other way. Plus, one of the, you know, benefits of him actually being smaller, which, you know, he's not small, he's short. That's why, honestly, short and 220 is better than like 6'1 and 220, if I'm being honest. If I had to pick, I'd take the shorter guy, partially because of the lower center of gravity. And, you know, as far as weight goes, 220 is 220. But also partially because they hide behind the offensive line. You can't find them. So if the last thing that linebacker sees is him cutting back, he pauses. He's trying to find him because you got a big guy in your way. So you kind of jump back the other way. You look to find him. All the while, the running back really just did a stutter step and then went right back to where he was going. And you cause that linebacker to freeze and in some cases just run the complete wrong direction and then continue on. I've seen him do that a couple times. And it's a real intelligent move. I know when we went back and watched the highlights live on the stream, another thing he did that I really liked was sort of the not just the processing, right? Because processing is something I think you've got it or you don't, and then it's kind of how quick is that processor. I don't know exactly how quick the processing is, but one of the things I thought was super cool was, you know, sometimes you'll see a running back and there's sort of like an initial processing, like where should I go, when should I hit the hole, et cetera, et cetera. And they make that decision and then they commit to it and they just go all in. One thing that was cool for him is I saw him do that. He made his cut, he got up through the hole, and then it was like he reset, and he was able to process again and kind of do that second jump cut a second. So it was cool to see, because again, you know, I hate to keep picking on A.J. Dillon, but not only do I think he makes poor decisions, but when he makes a decision, he might as well just close his eyes and just run straight ahead. So it was cool to see him really just constantly like processing data and making each step intentional. Also, I know a lot of people like to watch highlights. There's nothing wrong with highlights. I think forming a full opinion on somebody, it's not great with highlights because you're only getting a portion of the picture. Some people have like incredible highlights, but they're not very good football players. So like just an easy step, especially for running backs, because you know you don't need all 22 necessarily. Sometimes it helps to kind of see the offensive line from those different angles and see, you know, the whatever. But go to YouTube, and instead of typing in highlights, just put in verse. And I know it's not as fun or exciting, but it's still, they got all the cut-ups, and it goes really fast. And you're going to see some of the negatives. And if you don't want to, because you just want to enjoy it, fine, I get it. But it is nice to kind of get a fully formed picture of who these guys are, so we don't kind of set ourselves up for failure when we assume these guys are studs, and really they're flawed football players that have some upside here and there. Turns out not every run's going to be a home run, you know. But just to kind of give you a little better picture. So then you put in, you know, Marshawn Lloyd verse, and then the search will come up, Marshawn Lloyd verse, you know, Alabama or Michigan. But why don't we take our final break? We'll come back and hear from Pedro, the redhead from Brazil.
Hey, Ryan, it's me, man. Pedro, the redhead from Brazil.
What's up?
So, talking a bit about the drafts, of course, most of the players
the Packers draft were not my favorite players, like always, but I feel pretty good about this year, you know? In comparison to a few years before, I think that this draft is pretty deep in talent and some positions. We're going to day three now, and there's still like 12 players I really like on the board. And yeah, I feel pretty good. I trust Gutekunst and his staff way more than I do in my ability. So, I really like the positions. Still was hoping to get a top corner, and we probably didn't. Despite Cam Hart, my guy is still on the board, so let's see. But I was thinking about that, and probably Halfley really like our corner group, you know? I feel like he probably took good that he can make Stokes be a better corner or something, because we had a few options there. We had the opportunity to draft some guys. We could have traded up for Terry Arnold, and we didn't. We could have traded up for Cooper DeJean. We didn't. We could have drafted Kool-Aid, and we didn't. So I do feel that he feels pretty comfortable with our corner group, despite what we all think. So, yeah, I feel pretty good. Really hoping we draft like a center, a guard, and Kim Hart. There are other few players that I like, but that's about it. Talk to you soon, man. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and that kind of held up. Again, it's possible that they did want corner and it just didn't fall the way they wanted, but it sure doesn't look that way, because it felt as though, and again, who knows what their board looked like, it felt as though a lot of corners kept falling to them and the Packers just had no interest. And I'll tell you this, if the Packers somehow were able to get out some espionage that they needed corner, which caused pretty much every round somebody to jump the Packers, including a division rival, to steal corners away, that was brilliant work. But I don't think that's what happened, but I'm just saying that would be nuts. But yeah, I mean, the other thing to keep in mind is we had a team last year. We had a team that had the potential to win a Super Bowl. Is it perfect? No, but they're ready to go. All we're doing is adding talent. We're going out and getting the most talented guys we can. We're going to throw that pile of human beings onto our roster, and we're going to see what happens. And you assume there's going to be some upgrades. Other guys, you assume, will be upgrades eventually, but just not right away. And some of them we're going to stash on practice squads, you know, and just see kind of how it pans out. Some of the later round guys, you know, those questions about, well, are we going to have three quarterbacks now? It's like, no, one of them is going to go on the practice squad. And they got, you know, two guys that they feel are developmental quarterbacks. Are going to try to develop them. And by the time, you know, they're ready to grab another developmental quarterback, they'll realize that one of these guys probably isn't going to be that dude. So they move on. And they keep cycling through it until eventually they find a guy that is the dude. Presumably, that's what they're going to do. Moving on.
Hey, Ryan, it's Washington Metro.
What's up?
Still in Austin.
What's up?
But I'm sitting here paying a little more attention to the draft than I guess I normally do. And gosh, it's been a really fun time. I really like, of course, our first five picks, really. I think the fifth one, Hopper, took me an extra minute to come around on.
Yeah.
But I like them all so far. And as I'm sitting here at the end of the fifth round, I'm just admiring a little bit of kind of the way that Gutekunst navigated this draft. You know, we moved back only about four spots in the second round. Still got Edgerrin Cooper, a guy I really, really like, with that second round pick that we moved back with, but, picked up that extra fifth and sixth. And then we turned both of those into moving up in later rounds. And I'm not going to pretend I know these guys so well that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we moved up to get them. But at the same time, you know, I trust the front office, and if they like these guys enough to move up to get them, it's awesome that we were able to kind of not necessarily use a bunch of extra ammunition where we see these other teams, especially in NFC North, just like spending all this extra stuff, especially from next year, to move up. Last thing I just want to mention, my girlfriend is an Eagles fan, and man, I feel like every year they're doing crazy stuff, and they already managed to pick up an extra third and fourth for next year. And not to praise another team too much, but man, they feel a lot like a good drafting team like the Packers. Anyway, catch you soon, and enjoy the rest of the draft. Bye.
Yeah, I have noticed that. When I, you know, there's always those teams that you kind of respect, and I guess I don't even notice who I respect until they kind of come around and draft. But yeah, the Eagles have been one of those teams the last couple of years, at least, where I've watched them draft and just kind of go, oh, here they go again. Here they go. And it has a lot to do with who they are, more so than anything, because a different team could do that and be like, I don't freaking care. It doesn't mean anything. But yeah, the Eagles seem to do a pretty good job of navigating some stuff. You know, as far as the moving up, moving back thing, definitely agree Gutekunst is doing a good job. I mean, we'll see how the picks pan out. But, I mean, this is just maximizing value, right? And this is why it's beneficial to trade back if you have guys relatively evenly graded, right? If they're all kind of on that same tier. Because even though right now there's a surplus, you don't know how it's going to fall later. And so what you do is you trade back now, especially when you do it earlier, you get even more value. But you trade back now. You get a guy, you know, even though you don't get to pick, which I'm sure you'd like to because you have preferences and biases or whatever, if you let that go and you let the chips fall where they may, maybe you get lucky, maybe you don't, then later when you're sitting there and there's one or two guys left that are on that tier and you're thinking they're not going to make it to me, now we can jump up and grab a guy that's still on that high tier. I mean, you could be in the fifth round and have like, you know, one guy left with a third round grade. And now you're able to jump up and grab that guy. I mean, that's a huge thing, even though we're looking at it going, you traded up for that? I don't understand. Well, that's why. So we're just kind of making sure that we can maximize our board as much as is possible.
Brian, what's up?
How are you? Good.
I bet you're really glad that the draft isn't 100 rounds or whatever it used to be.
Be wild.
Anymore. It is. I don't know what we got. We've got our seventh round picks yet to go here, but yeah, I just want to call in and say, wow, was that, like, that was such an on-brand draft, you know? And congratulations to the people that won the gift card. And can I just say also, so it was a couple weeks ago where I called in and that was my suggestion that you do some kind of competition for that. And yeah, I just want to say, man, it's really cool that you're open to that, because I think the listeners, a lot of listeners have always had a lot of good ideas. Not always. I mean, you're also not afraid to be like, no, I'm not doing that. But it's cool that you're open to that, because I think it ended up being kind of a pretty cool thing for Packernet. It seems like a lot of people, I don't know how many, I'd be interested in how many people participated, but certainly was a fun thing. And I can't imagine, I know some people actually bet on the draft, but holy crap, you got to hate money. You bet on the draft. Like I got the first round pick right, and that was only because I was thinking to myself, all right, which of these guys is not the guy that most people are mocking themselves, you know, guy they didn't have in for the visit. But then the very next round, he takes Cooper and Bullard, the guys that I've been mocking myself for a month. So it's like, yeah, I don't know, right? It's, who knows, but congrats to everybody that's going to the steakhouse, and, congrats on a successful draft. I thought Packernet really represented itself well. I was kind of bouncing between some YouTube offerings, and for the most part, Packernet was really right up there with quality and depth of analysis and everything. So I think this is my third or fourth draft I've watched with you guys, and I got to say, like, the depth of knowledge and just the analysis and stuff has just improved every year, so... Good job, and just thanks for being open to ideas. That was really fun. And I really love, Oladapo, I had him in the fourth. If I had him in the fifth, I might have been able to push myself into a four-way tie there. But go figure, you know, everybody else was going early all day, Thursday, Friday, whatever. And then Oladapo sneaks in the fifth. But I love that pick so much. And I think he's going to be a starting safety, possibly. I really do. I just think he's that good. And I'm so happy that they took him. Yeah, it's been an interesting draft. I got to look up some of these guys.
Well, I appreciate the words about the stream and all. It's definitely a lot of fun. I mean, look, it's I'm glad that you know, we kind of did it the right way, but I don't know that we could do it any different way, or at least I couldn't. You know, some of the other guys probably could handle it, but I'm either just going to be me or I'm not going to do it. I don't like, you know, if I'm going on somebody else's thing, maybe I'll kind of button it up a little bit, but you know, I like doing the draft stream. I mean, it's long, but because it's just kind of hanging out and being stupid. I mean, same when we do the streams during the game, it's just hanging out, just watching a football game, just talking trash. And it's definitely not the most well-produced or whatever, but it's how I like it. And I appreciate everybody hanging out. But it sounded like there was a part two, so let's check that out.
Yeah, I can look up some of these guys. I don't know a lot of these guys, but the biggest surprise to me was just the lack of cornerbacks. And I was listening to you guys in the chat. Sounds like kind of what I was thinking, too. Like, maybe Bullard and some of these safeties they took. I mean, some of them would have to have some ability to play cornerback. I'm wondering if you think, is it possible that's a trend? Like, is the body type of the cornerback or what's being asked of them changing to the point where maybe, you know, how the Packers have done it where they take offensive tackles and convert them to guards, and they've really been the front runner on that for many years, and other people start doing it. Is this going to be a trend now where you're taking speedy, you know, good coverage safeties, but you know because they're safeties, they're a hell of a lot better at tackling? I mean, you're still going to have your lanky, super fast outside corners, but I just wonder if this isn't year one of kind of the new thinking of getting bigger guys that can be kind of a linebacker if they need it, or they can be a nickel guy, slot guy. Probably not playing outside, but, you know, can cover a tight end, can tackle. That would make sense to me, just kind of the way things are going. But really interesting. I think we got a ton of players. I mean, what would think there's, if we get these last two seventh rounders, we'll be at 11 picks again. That's just the second straight year. So, holy crap. And for a team, really, that coming into this, honestly, there wasn't a ton of holes. You know, the upgrade, but there wasn't a ton of, like, huge holes. That's pretty damn impressive. And, you know, looking at, you know, the Bears in particular, like, yes, obviously, I think their first two picks are awesome. I don't know about the punter, but I think the problem is just when you don't have very many picks, even if you hit a home run with those top two, or same with Minnesota, like, your depth pieces are just, you know, you're picking through the scrap heap for depth pieces, I believe. I mean, what, it's just going to be street free agents that you get to go through, so I'm really liking how the Packers have positioned themselves. Look, it was a smart draft. Goody looked like, again today, just like, yeah, whatever, no problem. Trade if I need to, but otherwise just kind of sit still. Let the picks follow him, trust his board. I mean, the guy just does his thing. And it really works. It really suits the Packers. Gutekunst GM style suits the Packers, I think, organizationally. It just, it feels what it, like what it should be. He's more conservative, but not afraid to take some chances like he did in free agency also, or, you know, make the hard decisions like with Aaron Rodgers. So now I'm super happy. I can't wait to hear all the analysis, to just watch all these guys in video. This is great, man. You take care, buddy. Good job this weekend.
Well, thanks again. Yeah, I mean, as far as, and this is obviously being argued, and I plan on doing this, not tomorrow, probably the next day, because it's at the front of my mind. You know, a lot of times what happens is I'll argue, and I don't exactly know how to articulate it. And I feel like I shouldn't have to. It's like when you try to explain a definition to a kid, and you realize, like, I don't know how to say the words. Like, I know what it means. Believe me, I know what that word is. I don't know exactly how to say it. And so I need to kind of sit down and parse through this, because I mean, it's actually a benefit that there are so many people that are, it's going to sound super arrogant to just say stupid, because it could just be either a difference in philosophy or just a lacking in understanding. I mean, as a Packer fan, it is a constant mantra of draft and develop. And I understand that's an NFL-wide thing, but how deeply permeated is it among Chicago Bears fans, Vikings fans, Lions fans, Chiefs fans? I'm guessing some more than others, but I don't know. I don't know the trends and philosophy. I mean, the Packers have had this one main thing for 30 years. Some teams just have this constant revolving door of GMs. They don't have that thing. And so it's just a matter of go get us talent one way or another. So, yeah, I mean, trade all the picks, go get the players, trade up, do this. It's just, you know, I don't know. And so, you know, it's not enough to just say, ha, you traded away a pick for a player, you're dumb. Because, again, there isn't that baseline of understanding of picks are more valuable and an understanding of, you know, value and the implications of having a salary cap. And how are you going to build a team? You don't have enough human beings in the building. You know, the Packers throwing too many pieces at something means we just get to pick the top guys and then throw the rest into the trash heap. And that's what the Vikings, I don't know specifically, I have to look at it, but Vikings, Lions, Bears, whoever, Bears specifically, they have to pick through. And, you know, when you throw away your picks for players, it's like, well, you know, I mean, it's so stupid, that whole thing about, you know, obviously you would give up a second round pick for a player, and then they throw up that meme, something to the effect of, well, I don't want to get rid of this pick. It could be a really good player. It could even be such and such, and it's the player that you trade for. In other words, it's the exact same thing. It's not the same thing. That was, first of all, that wouldn't work just on the amount of people, right? Could you build, I don't want to launch into it today, but just as a thought exercise for a couple days from now when we work through this, I want you to build a team, but you can't use the draft. You have draft picks, but you cannot use the draft. You can only trade your picks. Can you build a football team? If not, why not? And work back from there. But anyways, again, I need to sit down and kind of really parse that all out. But I think I'm going to leave it at that. You guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.